Welcome back to episode 221, I believe. Joe, how you doing?
Tim, I'm just fine. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Well, let's catch up on some of these stories. There was a story out of, I guess, Philadelphia. A man raped a woman on a public train and in front of, I think, dozens of fellow riders, and no one intervened. This was made national news, of course. The assailant apparently was a illegal immigrant from, I think, Congolese. He was he was in the country on a expired student visa. He was 35 years old. Those are the reports. First reports were that people were filming it, which I think haven't been confirmed. That might have been, fake news or something on their camera, but they definitely ignored it. From what I understand. And of course, the news is just shocked by this. Now, I don't know why they're shocked. Why would anyone not want to intervene in preventing a black man from committing a crime after all of last year? Because we all know that black men committing crimes and black men looting are civil rights activists. They're not criminals.
Well, I don't know.
So the hesitancy might be,
Have you seen any of the videos of Zombie Philadelphia? Because the
Yes.
inner city has been really hammered with the fentanyl distribution, and you have to wonder when you hear an episode like that, what was the degree of consciousness of the individuals around the episode? Because I don't know if you, I've seen a couple of, I think two, where people just drive through the city filming. And to call it subhuman is self-evident. I mean, he would, there would just be people standing with incapable of moving. They call them like statues where the fentanyl just seizes them up and they're all over the place. And then other people are just lying face down in the sidewalk. People are trying walking over them. But the whole tone is post-apocalyptic, and so then when you read about like the episode where the tragedy, where this rape occurred and no one responded, I would, to me, it just comes from that context. I mean, there may have been some cowards, that didn't act, and it could also be just there were some zombies
Well,
that couldn't.
who's the DA there? Krasner, who's one of these Soros
Yeah.
DAs, and we all know that citizens that do sort of take responsibility and try to defend the community, like Kyle Rittenhouse or that guy down in Texas who's just defending himself, get prosecuted, and they're assaulted by these. So where we have a situation, where the cities are, pretty much falling apart. There's just anarchy. There's sort of a stand down of police, and if those citizens who do try to protect property or themselves are often, prosecuted. There's the guy who was defending his girlfriend, who shot, the guy who's, well, the camera from the video feels like he was pawing or assaulting his girlfriend, and immediately the media says white man shoots black man for complimenting his girlfriend. And of course you see the video, and there weren't compliments. He was yelling at her and pawing at her. That's what the video seems to suggest. There might be some more details to that. If there are more details, I stand corrected. But that, look what they did with Kyle Rittenhouse. Still prosecuting him. And there's that couple down in St. Louis who just merely brought guns out to defend their property. This was of course, a gated community where the gate was torn down. So the protesters weren't on a public street; they were in private property protesting. And the couple was prosecuted, and I think the prosecutor down there was Kim Gardner, another Soros prosecutor, who prosecutes them but not the protesters for destruction of property. And these things like theft, you're seeing it in San Francisco, theft, property destruction, open drug abuse in the cities aren't, in the streets aren't being policed, or people aren't being arrested for it. And this is kind of like the opposite of the Giuliani theory, the broken window foul, broken window theory of law, where his theory was you go after the petty crime and you prevent the bigger crimes, and there's some validity to that. Whereas in this case, it's like the opposite, where you allow the petty crimes, it gets worse and worse and worse. So it's
In
almost
San
like
Francisco, shoplifting isn't illegal.
they don't
In the
prosecute.
sense that there is no response. I mean, the shop owners are just used to it. I think you have to, it has to be something really huge for them even to like try to resist. and they try to get it on tape. I guess they go to the insurance companies, but the police aren't really coming. And of course, the police are being defunded. So, you know, it's like well said that the Giuliani concept in reverse. And of course, you throw into this the fentanyl brigade and the burgeoning effects of the vaccine, which looks like it's starting to really percolate in the bodies of a lot of the people who've taken the jab. And you really have what I mean. It's just it's an actual zombie film in the making. Hard to really, you know, find other words to describe.
Well, it's malice on the part of government officials. This is another case. Loudoun County prosecutor, another Soros installed prosecutor, and she said she got $800,000 from George Soros to run her campaign, which is a huge amount of money for a down ballot position like that. But there was an incident last spring, 2021. Where a guy's a father's daughter was assaulted by a transgender female, a boy pretending to be a girl, in one of the bathrooms in the school there. Apparently, this young man reverted to being a male long enough to rape this girl. And
yeah, I followed this tragic. Yeah.
And the school transferred him, where he proceeded to assault another girl. The father found out about it and showed up at a school board meeting and started complaining about it, and they accused him of lying. And he got a little mad, and I think a couple of the police officers or the sheriffs grabbed his arm, and he just kind of winced back, and they used that as an excuse for, you know, sort of a thug scrum, and they arrested him. This is the domestic terrorist incident that was cited. And he was arrested, and it turns out the prosecutor wanted to throw the book at him. Now, the prosecutor got elected on a platform of progressive policies and being against mass incarceration. But apparently, this progressive policy doesn't extend to the father of a rape victim. And it turns out the school board claimed they knew nothing of the incident. It turns out they did. One has already resigned. The Ziegler, the chairman or the head of the school board there, we now have emails. He claimed it knew about it, which I think is a violation of state law. They're covering up a crime. So it's a huge scandal, and it may have impact on next week's elections in Virginia as a gubernatorial race, and it's factored into the declining poll numbers for Terry McAuliffe, who was expected to be the easy winner because of this. Virginia's gone largely blue, largely because of demographic changes, also because of fraud, I think. You know, but it's funny how this, of course, progressive approach against incarceration, sort of this magnanimous approach to criminals, doesn't extend to a father of a rape victim, yet another Soros-installed prosecutor. Again, it's not a question of being against imprisonment or using police force. It's almost like using the police force as a checker. And we saw that, of course, with the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland's sicking the FBI on these parents who were upset about what was going on in their schools. So it's a continuing thing here. It's a theme we see. But it's funny because the National School Association just issued an apology for using domestic terrorists in the letter that they wrote to the Department of Justice. So maybe they said it was poor word choice. Nevertheless, we still want to go after you. We should have used a different term.
Well, these things are propaganda, in my opinion. They're theater. They're not really, you know, actual legal processes. I mean, the horror of the, you know, like the father, the white male father, you know, I mean, this is completely legitimate. But beyond that, it's just theater to shatter the souls of the European, which is all part of the genocide. I mean, we are being asked to, accept vaccination. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, there's just evidence coming out every single day concerning, you know, the damage that the vaccine does. Today, Sweden banned the Moderna on the grounds of just extremely high levels of myocarditis, you know, which is the inflammation of the heart. And the numbers they cited are just a tiny fraction, no doubt, of what's real. So I mean, and you know, if anyone who doubts that, just go to the you know, the Lazarus study of the VAERS data, and he'll, you know, you can see the details for yourself. I mean, it's they're probably 1 in 100, maybe, you know, 1 in 10, but they're so high that it's a very legitimate risk. No one should be asking anyone else to, or mandating that they should take something so toxic.
Well, not it should be banned. It should be banned.
It should be banned. But yeah, when you see something like, you know, the father being arrested,
yeah,
for protesting his daughter being raped, this is, you know, these things are being structured. In my opinion, you know, these are they're words that have gone out to all of the people in all positions of power of how, at this point, of how to treat Europeans. The Chicago police head, who, you know, mentioned that, you know, this mandated vaccination of his police force was dictatorial, and that Lightfoot, the Chicago mayor, didn't have any legal basis to make such a mandate. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not supposed to be able to create laws. I mean, she's the mayor. She's not the legislature of Chicago. And her response was, you know, just he is a racist, homophobe who hates transgenders.
Yeah, that's relevant.
Yeah, but I mean, so
it's like nothing to do with the issue, yeah, but okay. Well, that's like this. Like his father had to come out and say, "Hey, listen, I don't mind transgendered people." Well, yeah, you do. You should.
Yeah.
Because this is what happens. Like, well, sort of that, first of all, his views on that issue or any other issue are irrelevant to the fact that his daughter was raped. And this is the type of situation that people said was going to happen when you start, you know, indulging these lunatics and these narcissists. You're going to have someone who's going to claim he's not, and he's going to show up in a bathroom and assault or, you know, intimidate the girls. And it's usually going to be males, you know, pretending to be females. It's the nature of these, because that's the perverts, you know, or the perversion goes that way. So it's just, you know, it's obvious. And the fact, you know, they're acting shocked that this would happen. And who's to say, you know, that hasn't happened multiple times. They're covering these things up, because a lot of people won't press charges or won't go public with it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and believe me, this is going to, as we've mentioned so many times, this is just going to continue and get worse, because the clown world is, yeah, becoming the shock propaganda world for the purpose of just shattering the minds of those who haven't been vaccinated, particularly, mm-hmm, the Europeans. We make up a large fraction.
Well, when they have books in the libraries, in the, I guess, the high schools and junior high schools that have renderings, drawings of homosexual sex acts between children available to children.
It's like, yeah, they're not, you, I mean, we mentioned, yeah, before, they're not drawings, they're illustrations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these are not cartoons. I mean, I was sent a whole book, like a few textbooks that have these yeah, illustrations, and all you can say is these are very clear, you know, illustrations. I mean, this would have put you into prison for 20 years, like 40 years ago.
Yeah, if I were to actually present this book to someone on this kid on the street, I'd be charged.
Of course, yeah, and rightfully so.
Yeah, so it's obvious it's grooming material, and the schools are being used as institutions to groom and indoctrinate. And that's, yeah, it's all this critical race theory stuff and all the, it's, remember, all the protests isn't just about critical race theory. It's the school closing, it's the mask requirements, probably the coming vaccination requirements, you know, and it's accelerated and actually probably open a lot of people's eyes to the true nature of the system. So in many ways, I mean, you know, doing exactly, everyone a favor.
Yeah, exactly. This is the time to get out. There is no salvaging the public school system. It's impossible. Now, if you are in one of these areas that is an enclave, and you control the school board, you control the pedagogy, you resist the federal government's mandate for...
Well, parents shouldn't control schools, right? Only experts.
Right, of course.
Educators.
They don't know what to do with their kids. But yeah, the point is, I'm not saying there can't be enclaves, but by and large, it is an absolute tip to stern. You know, it used to be a cesspool, but now it's just a weapon aimed against your kid. Well, and of course, with the, yeah, mandatory vaccinations, it literally is a weapon. So you just have to get out.
Well, when you have things like National Education, yeah, you have a National Education Association, National School Board Association, these things, obviously, these things are being organized, sort of a structure, a vertically integrated structure where, again, these the public school system would be controlled. And as opposed to being, controlled from the bottom up, it's top down. So it's inevitable, that the wackos, the ideologues would be installed to do the oligarchs' bidding. And that's kind of, like I said, a couple weeks ago, I said, the parents are finding out they're not just coming when Merrick Garland interceded on behalf of the school board and the perverts that are running the schools. It said a message to the parents that they're not fighting the school board, they're fighting the oligarchs. And
yeah,
they protested. Yeah.
And the solution is not to participate in the process.
Mm-hmm.
The only response is to get your kid out. You have to get your kid out. And the good news is there's a lot of former public school teachers available who wouldn't take the vaccine. These are the exact correct people to hire.
Yeah, that's almost like it's like the same with the medical system. That sort of develop a parallel underground medical system from the 40 to 50% who don't want to take the jab, but now you have all these trained medical people.
Exactly.
Okay.
I've been saying this for months. Just they are doing us a great service by identifying those of us with clear minds.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can create a real hospital system, some real medicine. We can have a real police force. We can have a real public school. All we have to do is just gather together the people who wouldn't take the vaccine were fired.
This is pretty funny. I got this from the Off Guardian. Kit Knightley wrote this. CDC director, we may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
It goes from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. Yesterday in a press conference, the director of the CDC warned that they may have to update the definition of the fully vaccinated. At the virtual presser accompanying the approval of mix and match booster jabs, oh, that's great. Dr. Rochelle Walensky told reporters that we will continue to look at this. We may need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future. The updated definition would potentially mean only people who have had the third booster, maybe fourth or fifth, like they did in Israel, shot would be considered fully vaccinated, while people who have had the two original shots are no longer fully vaccinated. So if they die, they're not fully vaccinated. While the warning might just be a ploy to scare people into getting the booster without forcing them to, it should be noted a revised definition of fully vaccinated has already been adopted in other countries. For example, it is already policy in Israel where in early September, they updated what it means to be vaccinated. You now need a third shot or else you are no longer considered vaccinated. I think they're contemplating a fourth one now. We wrote about that at the time, and predicted it would likely spread to the rest of the world. Also, he makes a good point here. First, it would allow them to maintain control. Forcing people to jump through hoops just to get back rights they once took for granted creates an atmosphere that normalizes state tyranny. Secondly, and more cynically, it would allow them to artificially manipulate statistics to flatter the vaccine's effectiveness while holding any damage they might do. While hiding any damage they might do. We already know that in the U.S. and others, you're not considered vaccinated if you're only single jabbed or double jabbed for less than 2 weeks. So any patient infected with COVID in that time is considered unvaccinated, not a breakthrough infection. By redefining fully vaccinated, they can turn millions of double jabbed people into unvaccinated people and stop them from becoming potential breakthrough infections, hurting the vaccine's effectiveness stats. So it's
Jim, it's even crazier than that. I mean, the way this is going to work, and trust me, this is the plan, is you will the death of an unvaccinated person contributing to the epidemic statistics, forcing more lockdowns and more vaccination protocol because you got killed by the booster. But during the period of time when you are, quote, an unvaccinated being, which incidentally would be 2 weeks after the booster or 3 weeks sometimes after the booster has been administered. So, and just as a little digression, personal anecdote, I know two people who had the booster.
Mm-hmm.
They both got sicker than hell. I mean, they just were out like lights. They were really frightened. They didn't understand what was going on. So small sample size, but nevertheless, this indicates that the effects will be, amalgamated so that, the second one is when people get sick on the most sick on the Pfizer and Moderna. And the booster will just, your body will have even a more, violent response. And then, of course, you will be unvaccinated again as soon as the numbers, or whatever the government wants it to be. And then you'll need another one. And the question is, well, when will it just become ludicrous? Because people won't even be making it out of the, you know, the vaccine clinic. So, you know, clear-minded people will not take the first jab. And I was just going to point out that they have now identified what looks like the first kind of scientifically verified, you know, it's a kind of antibody-dependent enhancement. It's not really the classic case, but it's an example of what we have to look forward to. It was in the latest Public Health England vaccine mm-hmm. surveillance report, and they pointed out that, you know, there's this strange phenomena wherein the people who have been vaccinated are not producing what's called the nucleocapsid or N protein, which yeah. is broad spectrum natural immune response. And they couldn't really figure it out. They go, gee, what is this? And then someone pointed out that actually there's been another study that was, in fact, some time ago posted in the Journal of Infection. And it said, look, you know, they had 4,000 personnel and they had some breakthrough cases. They checked them. They couldn't find any detectable anti-N antibodies. And they had a control group because they had people who hadn't had the vaccine and they all did have these. And so this is really hard evidence that where the vaccinated are heading. If you look at the trials that were done in 2014 with MERS, I believe, yeah, MERS, it took a while to really have the immune system tap out. But it did eventually, you know, the changes that was the first rollout of the mRNA concept. And now you have in England, they have the rates per 100,000 by vaccination status. And I mean, it's just catastrophic. The 40 to 49, it's more than 100% higher rate of infection for those who've been vaccinated, those that were not vaccinated. And this is not just an anomaly. I mean, it's 30 to 39, 40, 49.
Wait, didn't they see this in like the ferrets that they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So
I mean, so how they be surprised by it?
Yeah, they shouldn't be surprised. Everything seems to the vaccine seems to be working, Tim.
Well, yeah, it depends what the objective is, right? I mean,
yeah, it looks like it has all the potential to be an absolute long-term kill shot. Certainly for some fraction of the population. I mean, it already is, right? I mean, you look at the VAERS data, the European yellow card data, there's just hundreds of thousands of people that have died from it one way or another. So it is a kill shot, and it's one that will have effects over a long period of time. This will contribute to the...
What is happening is these people are experiencing a form of like acquired immune deficiency syndrome or something.
Exactly. It's AIDS. I mean, it's exactly.
Well, this just give me AZT. Send Dr. Fauci over there.
Well, that's right. There'll be drugs. There'll be treatment. But when your immune system, I mean, there's actually guys who've calculated based on the rate of decline of or acceleration of the vaccinated catching infections relative to the unvaxxed. They create these charts and they go, you know, by Christmas, most of these people will have zero immune system left.
If the current rate continues.
Yeah, if it keeps going. And incidentally, these graphs I'm talking about have now they've been in this trend has been fully in force for like over 2 months. So this is not, you know, we're not talking about something trivial. It's going every week. It's getting greater and greater.
So, I mean, like, you know, they'll call it a new variant or something, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
But you're also going to start seeing, and this, of course, a lot of doctors are already mentioning this, you're going to see other things pop up. You're going to see shingle cases.
That's what I was thinking. You'd see pneumonia, shingle, all these things, these pathogens that are benign.
Back because as the immune system weak, and cancer, you're going to get lots of cancer.
Which I thought they already are seeing it, aren't they?
Yes, absolutely.
Spikes to cancer because your immune system collapses. So, yeah.
Your immune system collapses, and so all these diseases will... And this is, you can really see why the foreshadowing that the zombie films represent. You know, they really are going to have a moment where there will, it looks to me like you're going to have kind of intellectually demented savages. I mean, people with no, you know, consciousness that will just be running, roaming around looking for food and will eat anything. So I think that, you know, the idea that we're in the beginning of a really bad zombie movie is, you know, pretty good analogy. And so I would say, you know, word to the wise, you want to be prepared for this one, because this is going to be the ride of your lifetime and you really want to be ready, and you better have some friends that are thinking like you do around you that you can count on.
Well, it's, again, it's telling that you have all these indicators that are vindicating the fears or suspicions that so many of us had going into this, and there's still full court press to get everyone vaccinated despite the manifest failure of this vaccine. Just admitting that you know, fully vaccinated means endless boosters because your immune system is shot. I mean, what's yeah. that? I mean, thank you. Oh yeah, you're welcome. You know,
they have to go for broke now, in my opinion, because by December, if these rates even don't even slow down, they just continue. If they don't accelerate, they just continue. There will be so much carnage, human carnage, that the idea of like talking anyone into taking the vaccine is far-fetched. I mean, this is what this is what I have hoped would happen, because it's literally at this point the best case, wherein the vaccinated become so terminal that it is impossible to ignore the signal, and the unvaccinated will have the you know, the justification for full self-defense at this point, and organization. I mean, and I'm hoping that things will just get clearer and clearer as to the oligarch participation.
Well, I mean, one thing that's not being talked about is the amount of resistances out there. Is there many of these corporations that are backing it? Southwest is back down. Delta said they're not going to mandate it. They claim that 90% are vaccinated anyway. I don't believe that, but they're saying they're not mandating. I mean, they're not following the mandate. And you have, you know, these laws being passed in various states that's saying, you know, outlawing mandates, but then just goes against the Biden executive order, which, you know, has yet to actually manifest itself.
Yeah, right.
The missing executive order. You know, he just comes out and gives a speech and kind of walks away as if that's the law, but it's not the way it works. And so it is, I think, largely it's a game of chicken and bluff. You know, if you call their bluff, they back down. That's evident. That's what it looks like. Same with the police departments. You know, we're going to fire, you know, half the force. You know, really? You're going to do that? You know?
Yeah. Things are going to get really weird here, Tim, because the unvaccinated, I just can't imagine, will not become more vigilante-oriented very shortly.
Well, they won't have any choice if they keep pushing it. I mean, I don't know.
Because there's going to be, I mean, food shortages. They're going to be demanding the vaccinated. I mean, I did a podcast in Australia, and I gave my honest opinion. I said, you know, I said, look, what you guys should be doing at this point is trying to arrange for freighters to come into the harbors to collect the vaccinated and then just get to the open seas and try to find, you know, an asylum nation that'll take you in, become like a boat people flotilla. Mm-hmm. The Queensland governor, Masonic witch, she was talking about the need to put the unvaccinated into the camps. One of them was named like Camp Wellness. Yeah. And these are just straight ahead concentration camps.
Yeah.
With barbed wire, the whole nine yards. Max Egan, I think which is not his real name, but he's like an Australian podcaster who's been, you know, alerting the public about this. He fled 3 days ago. He said it's an amazing story. Actually, it's his story is online. You know, he just gets to the airport. He leaves everything. He just sensed that the police were coming. He just went to the airport, had his passport, and when he checked out to get on a plane, he just picked any flight. He went to Singapore. From there, he flew to Mexico, which is where he is. He said when he put the passport in, a little notice came up which said, "You must be aware that returning to Australia is very difficult and very expensive, and you may never be able to return. This is what is in the Australian checkout lines. And so he said that was like a good indication that he was doing the right thing. And so then he got on the plane. There was like five people on the plane. They flew to Singapore, and from there, that's how he made his way to Mexico. But my point is, when I did the podcast, I said, look, you guys are in real trouble, because the in the United States, you have such diversity inside of police forces that there isn't going to be the kind of Masonic control. It's just very one-dimensional in Australia and New Zealand.
And also, federal government's control in the United States relies on state and local cooperation.
Exactly, yeah. And also,
they don't have the resources.
It's armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, we are armed. So you can't just beat us up, you know, send in your dragoons. I mean, you look at this Australia, I mean, they do, it's like, I can't even watch the videos, because these are like the worst commercials for the NRA I've ever seen, you know. Now it's like the public is just being pummeled. So your situation is fairly unfortunate, you know, and that the Judaic Masonic control is really far down into your system. You know, I'm sure they have like Masons on every single police chief. Most of them will keep the rest of them in order, you know, during the be jackbooted and an absolutely violently aggressive genocide program. Dan Andrews last week said, you know, we're not going to get rid of the structure of the lockdown. He said, look, it took us almost 2 years to build it. We're not just going to put it away. We have to keep it there. It's going with the police, the rules are all set to go. So in other words, he's just telling you that you are in a prison nation.
Do they have elections? Do you even bother with elections there anymore?
I mean, I think that they do, but they would make ours look like, you know, reasonable. You know, so it's just, I'll tell you, like,
but they're gonna have to have like a Ceausescu moment there.
I mean, I would think in a real election, Andrews, for example, would lose like 90-10. He was on he gave one post, and there was a response, and it was like 1,000-1 against him. Mm-hmm. So this, I think, would be a reasonable response, but they control the media, so they say, well, the opinion polls have them ahead at 60-40 or something, you know.
Yeah.
So it's fake. It's they control the media. They control the numbers of the election. You're not going to affect this, in my opinion. And so the thing to do if you want to survive in that particular circumstance is to see if you can get your neighbors. I mean, there should be a lot of cargo ships right now available for hire because they're not being able to unload anything. Maybe you could, for a couple hundred grand, rent one, get on the ocean, get some food, and see who will take you in. I gave the suggestion of Romania, which has, in that whole area, the Baltics are kind of a oasis of non-lockdown freedom, and maybe they would want a few hundred thousand Aussies with high skills. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's, it doesn't matter where you go, because if you go into those camps, Tim, you know, the idea of, you're not going to come out any more than you're going to ever get out of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Once you go into the camps, you're sunk. So,
well, there the cops are inspecting coffee cups. Make sure people who have a coffee cup has coffee in them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the people, I mean, again, it's a question of what the people put up with. And they've created a structure where the people apparently have no representation or agency to oppose these tyrannical measures. You would think at some point, maybe in the lower tier of the government, you'd have a coup of some type, and you know, and put these people up against a wall, metaphorically, of course, and give them what they deserve.
Well, it's going to have to be metaphorically over the place, because if you look at Austria this afternoon, Schallenberg, he made a pronunciation which is, you know, really important for everyone to understand and recognize. I mean, he said that if the ICU reaches 25%, which is 500 in Austria, then the unvaccinated will not be permitted to go into restaurants and hotels and things like that. Well, that's kind of normal. We're used to it. But then he went to a next level. He said, this is the important thing. He said, look, if it gets to 600 or one third of the total ICU capacity, which incidentally has reached double that every single flu season, mm-hmm. so you know they're headed there, it's 100% sure. He says the government will impose restrictions on unvaccinated people. In this case, they would only be allowed to leave their home for specific reasons. Okay, can't, so you're going to be locked in, just like the Australians were.
Mm-hmm.
So this was this afternoon, and I mean, obviously there is no medical coherency to this. I mean, one, the ICU use will always be at nearly 100%. So this number of one third is just an arbitrary guarantee, you know, that this is going to happen. And then also the fact that currently everywhere that it can be registered, the vaccinated or having higher rates of infection and transmission than the unvaccinated. Mm-hmm. So the idea of locking down the unvaccinated has no medical or scientific basis for it whatsoever. So in other words, it is the velvet glove comes off, and now you see it's just the iron fist of dictatorship.
Well, you see, just south of Austria, in Italy, that was in Trieste.
Yeah.
Where they had these huge protests when they were running fake street cameras or something. To get the impression that no one was there. It turns out hundreds of thousands came out, and there's strikes all over the place, and they had to rescind the order. You know, I think this is over the health pass or something.
Police. They absolutely did. I mean, I've seen videos sent to me from people who were there. They actually overran the police positions, and the mandate disappeared for at least the time being.
Yeah, so there you go. But it's not being reported
in
the press or what's going on in France.
Yeah, and then we just ignored it like it did. Well, So the mainstream media is becoming, you know, just a schizophrenic.
Well, look what happened with, Sanjay Gupta on Joe Rogan's show.
Yeah.
You know, where Joe Rogan was able to corner him and confront him on what they were saying about his treatment. The ivermectin with CNN was saying he's taking horse paste, veterinary drug and all that. It was a Don Lemon who goes, he's taking a drug that's often administered to horses. I was like, that's like saying that he's drinking something that horses drink, water. You know, you know, it's like, well, wait a second. It's prescribed by a doctor. It's established treatment for this stuff. And by the way, he's not dead. He's perfectly healthy now, which might tell you something. But Sanjay Gupta, the neurosurgeon, was cornered and made speeches by a MMA fighter. He couldn't answer any of these questions. You know,
Rogan just rolled right
over him. Like,
and Gupta just collapsed because I mean, he's someone who has. Well played and reads the script,
mm-hmm.
but you put him in an existential circumstance and he doesn't know how to lie well. There are lots of there's this one guy, John Cooley. He does a show called Gigahome Biologic.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen him? Absolute genius. This guy is terrific, and he goes after like doctors and scientists who come on promoting the vaccination agenda, and he just rips them to shreds in terms of the science. But if I had a criticism of him, what he doesn't recognize is that it isn't even sincere science. In other words, the people now we see on TV who are representing the vaccine, they're just there for propaganda. I've seen this over the last month that they've really kind of devolved out of even pretending to have any kind of scientific bet.
Well, I mean, did you see that montage of all the news shows? Brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah.
George Stephanopoulos this week, brought to you by Pfizer. Good Morning America, brought to you by Pfizer. CNN, brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by Pfizer. That might tell you something. I think the last four or five FDA commissioners went on to work for Big Pharma. So you kind of see what's going on here?
It's kind of a clear picture.
It's not a regulatory agency. It's a marketing agency. I think 45% of their budget comes from Big Pharma. You know, same with the CDC. It was Julie Gerberding went to work for Merck after she approved the that vaccine for what was it for? It was for
the MMR vaccine. Yeah, that Thompson blew the whistle.
Yeah.
But
it was the human papilloma, the cancer, the HPV, human papillomavirus. It turns out that it was absurd because to take it prophylactically is stupid because most healthy girls have no problem with it. Then they started giving it to boys. I guess that speaks to their confusion about male and female. It's like, well, I guess, well, we hear that thing where Boris Johnson couldn't, what was it? The question, I forget what part of the female body it was, but men don't have that. No one wanted to say it because it's then you're being rude to transgendered men or females. I forget, I always forget which one is which, but
This new pronoun cultural dictatorship of of like you can't use male pronouns in inappropriate places if there's a transgender on it.
If you tell a man he doesn't menstruate, he gets upset. And then you have to, oh
Well,
no.
what's the name of the guy? He works for the Trump administration, and last week, he's a gay man married. He had to go on maternity leave.
Oh, that's, no, you're talking about the transportation secretary, Buttigieg.
Buttigieg, right?
He was out. He was on. He was talking about the, of course, he's the secretary of transportation. He got this crisis at the LA port, which is manufactured. So he's not no he's no interest in solving the problem. But during it, he went on, he was on a paternity leave because he and his husband just had a baby, and there's a picture of him at the hospital. I don't know who gave birth, but he claimed he was on paternity leave. Yeah, it was Buttigieg.
Yeah, but this is a way to shatter,
Yes, of
sexuality, which
course.
is obviously, Brave New World where you've
Well,
got.
look at Rachel Levine just became an admiral. Did you see
I mean, that's
that
the highest ranking military officer we have, a 4-star, I believe
Officer of
it
the
is.
line. She's an officer. He.
So
But
this
no, that
is.
it's also the first, I think, the first female admiral.
Well, I mean, now that's an open question, but
You don't believe that, then you're guilty of a hate crime.
I mean, it's nevertheless.
Hear about David Chappelle, his comedy shows, and he goes, well, trans people, they win arguments by making up words. Just make words up, it's like what that, he's like terms they come up with, like where'd you get that term, he just, he's talking about J.K. Rowling. She said that sex is biological, and she was canceled. And he's like, man, you get canceled for saying something so obvious.
Well, this is just the world that we're in. The media has been in the control of a group that is against, sanity of the Europeans
Well, Tucker
specifically.
Carlson had a thing. He's saying, where do people get power? They don't have power. They are set up. Obviously, if the media wanted to ignore these people or explain to the situation that they're insane and put them in their place and get rid of them, it'd be done. But the media is run by the oligarchs who are promoting this stuff. There's a structure to this. It's obvious. It's all part of this globalist plan to destroy, primary ties, ethnicity, family, tradition, culture, to destroy everything, atomize everybody, to confuse everything. And it's all, a strategy for composing a feudalistic, tyranny, technocratic tyranny. It's all in the,
Because the subject would have no mental or moral capacity to resist. I mean, this is where it ends up. This is where, at the end of the transgender highway, you end up with a being that, I mean, would be as close to a robotic slave as you could think. That's
Well,
who.
it's like with the parents when they're confronting the school board, and I imagine some of these parents are liberal parents, but they're not wacko, but they're naive. They don't realize as they go about their day, paying their property taxes, living in their fine homes, that the institutions are being taken over and their kids are being targeted. And they wake up one day, it's almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And what happened? Well, these people were installed. These are certain prosecutors were installed with money. NGOs, it's George Soros's outfit, and so the system's being taken over as you go about your day. And there are people dedicated to taking over, this dedicated revolutionaries, but these are janissaries, foot soldiers for the oligarchs. It's not as if they have any real power. It's the they have this full institutional backing, and they still pose as victims. As if they're the marginalized.
Well, like Lori Lightfoot, you know, claiming to be a victim. And,
I'm a victim.
So it's, I mean.
By the way, Netflix apologizes for David Chappelle's comedy show. By the way, it's comedy. So, but by nature, it's you're going to push boundaries and offend somebody. That's what comedy it does. But they don't apologize for their shows glorifying, you know, pedophilia. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So you know the propaganda is, I think, you know, can't be more obvious. You know, there are some really good signs. CNN's viewership, I read, didn't get a single show over 1 million.
Oh yeah, they said, why is Sanjay Gupta giving Joe Rogan a platform? I said, wait a second, his podcast gets like 10 times more listeners than any of your shows.
Well, I mean, just to put it in context, this is my understanding. They didn't get 1 million a single time in a week. That was the information I got. But at their zenith, they had 81 million in their Hive shows. So you've had, you know, 98% of the population just go leave them.
Well, they used to put up the pretense of being a news network. Now, you and I both know that was always Walter Cronkite, the heyday. That was BS, too. And I think back it was 1990 when they were caught faking missile attacks, attacks during the Gulf War. And people still went back to watching them, even though that was exposed. You know, that satellite feed was sent down. You can see them, and they're acting out a missile attack. Now, how many times has that been done? You know, you know, it's like, well.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just, oh, man. So, everything is, is rolling along very predictably. We are entering into the critical phase here shortly. The unvaccinated will have more and more clarity as far as, what the effects will be of the vaccine. And as will the vaccinated, you can see by the activity in Austria, they're going to try to isolate the vaccinated. And of course, in Australia, the unvaccinated. And with the idea of whittling us down so that we become a smaller and smaller fraction, easier and easier to genocide. But we have to resist that.
Well, here it's interesting because I think places like Australia, it's really easy just to roll them over. But again, something like the United States, where there's so much states or what you're seeing now is sort of a reversion to the states. Even you're seeing with the Supreme Court with abortion, with Texas is being allowed to pass this very restrictive law, which Sotomayor called a catastrophe today. It's good judicial temperament, Justice. You know, you're showing your politics that you have no judicial temperament. But so you have all these states, you know, Texas, Florida, passing these laws that are completely contradict federal policies, and
which is critical.
Yeah,
which is absolutely critical because it creates it makes it very difficult for large scale federal mandates to be uncontested. Because if one or two states doesn't go along and there are good results as you know because of it, mm-hmm. then it's a clear message to everyone else to resist. As an example, I know in rural areas in the Pacific Northwest, the people who left the Soros DA zones mm-hmm. and went out into the smaller towns are having great success there. This is what I've been told, that they're finding better lives, they're finding employment. There is a general lack of interest in some of these places in terms of vaccines and mandates. They're more rugged. And because the people who've left have the right political perspective, they're adding to the ability to defend freedom in these areas. You know, that's what I was telling the people in Australia. I was talking to them. I was going, look, there's going to be a real demand for freedom fighters and for people who have skills, you know, making food, things. I mean, there's a lot in the world for you. You just have to work hard right now to get out and find a place you can be where there's actually a future. Because I'm telling you, Tim, When you think about Australia, oh my God, you know, with the boosters and the concentration camps, man, that sure doesn't sound like, you know, put another shrimp on the Barbie type vacation.
No, yeah, the happy-go-lucky Aussie, I think, is now paying for his, I guess, his neglect of the political
system.
Yeah,
he didn't understand that there was a Masonic control and that it absolutely had him in the crosshairs, him and her. The Aussies, the happy-go-lucky Aussies, were in the crosshairs of the Masonic oligarchs, and now we're really seeing it. Good heavens, you know, they're just, you know, that was the last straw. When I heard the Queensland governor, this woman, make the statement about we're going to have to put the unvaccinated in the camps,
Well, a lot of these premiers, I'm not sure if it applies to her, but I heard that. Jacinda Ardern, who's the Prime Minister of New Zealand, I think Merkel, Macron, they all come from this leadership, political leadership school that the World Economic Forum operates. They select these. They select them when they're teenagers and they're young, and they're developed. So the control mechanism for what we're seeing now was installed long ago. And this is why you're like, what motivates Dan Andrews in Australia to say the things he does? It's almost like he's robotically saying these absurd pronouncements, and there's no accountability. Apparently, no one asks questions. Where's Parliament? They're like, what's going on here? It's like the new, the Great Reset was sort of a turning. We're doing away with any pretext of like parliamentary or representative government. Rule of law, it's ruled by dictate, ruled by, you know, government by emergency, and they don't have to justify their assertions. They just declare, you know, all these powers, they declare an emergency. Well, who declares an emergency? And are there any standards for a said emergency? Any proof you have to provide to declare an emergency? Because certainly there was no real, I mean, any traditional understanding of a pandemic, it just simply, those conditions didn't obtain in 2020. They just declared it. That's why they had the bar. To this day, they still cite the 700,000 deaths, 90% of which have nothing to do with COVID. These are the comorbidities. It's interesting that COVID, no, I'm sorry, that Colin Powell died this week.
Yeah.
And they say he died of cancer, but he was also had taken the jab twice. He had gotten two doses of the COVID vaccine, and he died. So it had nothing to do with that because he was a cancer patient. So that's funny because it's the reverse.
Mayor, who she made the assertion that Jesus wanted us to get vaccinated, which I can assure you is not in the New Testament, but nevertheless, she made the assertion. She made the claim that she doesn't want the anti-vax movement to gather strength from this event, to make it their own. We don't ever want that to happen. So, you know, it's
it's almost like you don't want to take somebody you know who dies, somebody who's affected by it. You don't want to use that as a criticism of the vaccine. What would you use as a criticism of the vaccine?
Exactly.
Yeah, various accounts of people. I mean, the VAERS thing, which is a very passive system, reports 16,000-17,000 deaths, hundreds of thousands of adverse reactions. Some are very serious. Now they say that's only a fraction, maybe 10, maybe 1%. And it could be in hundreds of thousands in the United States at this point.
I think it is just based on my, you know, kind of anecdotal, like small sample size people I know. I would be surprised if fatalities weren't in a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
I mean, I know one person actually. I would relate it as a vaccine.
Well, the mortality rate in 2021 between January and August of 2021 is much higher than 2018, 2019. And surpassing 2020. So supposedly when we were in the midst of the raging pandemic, when it was doing its most damage, you would expect more deaths. And with the introduction of the vaccines, you'd expect less. It's the opposite. So it suggests that the vaccine is causing more deaths. And they're like anything, it's almost they're doing the reverse of what they did in 2020, where they attributed normal, you know, deaths to other diseases, comorbidities, called it a COVID death, they upped the numbers. Now they're reversing that. Like a good example, Colin Powell, he's a cancer patient, takes the jab twice, which might argue against it because your immune system is weakened. He dies and they say, well, he had cancer, so it doesn't count. Well, so all of a sudden comorbidities do count. Yeah.
Yeah. The, you can't be a vaccine injury or vaccine death, if you die within like a month of the first shot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this is how the absurdity. He was like with the Sanjay Gupta interview with Joe Rogan. He just cited this basic thing. He said that they're trying to introduce mandate for young boys, ages of 12 and 16, and this is not even disputed that a young man or a boy is six times more likely to go to the hospital after getting a COVID shot than he is for anything related to COVID. So yeah, just based on those numbers, why would you take the shot?
Yeah, it's like a statistical absurd moment.
So why would you even suggest that just based on the risk effect, analysis?
Strong negative effects of the vaccine are becoming more and more clear. And the fact that they become worse over time, I really do believe that this will be a pretty bad winter in terms of
Who knows what's going to do for fertility? What's going to do the sperm counts, or worse, the ovaries of young girls? You hear about the effects of this. Some women are extreme bleeding, odd times. That's an indication that their reproductive systems are being damaged.
I actually know people. This is not like a TV illusion. I mean, in the small world that I exist in, I know two people who've had this problem, and mm-hmm. I'm both very worried about potential fertility damage. So,
an indication might be that the people pushing this are big advocates of depopulation and population control. That might be an indication that,
yeah, that would be like a clue that maybe this isn't all accidental.
Yeah.
So at this point, I would say, information is pretty much out there. Independent media has done a good job. There's still work to do in terms of exposing the propagandists. The people come on and the pseudoscientists. We need to use some clarity to get these people to be exposed.
This week it was I guess it was confirmed. I mean, this has been out there, I think, for months. So I don't know why it's such a big story now. That I guess there's two guys at NIH, Fauci and who's the other guy at the NIH?
Correct. Yeah.
They okayed funding for gain of function research in Wuhan, and of course the suggestion there is that somehow it got out. Now, I don't discount that. That could be true, could not be true. Like I said, they haven't isolated the virus yet. Some claim they have, but really, when you look into it, they really haven't. So there's really no definitive proof that any novel virus exists other than the assertion that it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I say, it's a epistemological problem, right? Because you can't trust the authorities. But nevertheless, this research is being done for gain of function, and gain of function is to take an organism and make it more pathogenic, more virulent. I mean, it was like, well, why would you want to do that? This is biological warfare research, which is, I think the U.S. banned it, so they outsourced it to China like they did everything else. But Fauci denied it, so the guy who's spearheading the reaction, let's say if you take the official narrative of the pandemic, the people that are spearheading the response to it are responsible for it.
I mean, this is actually almost a clown world moment. The idea that Fauci is responsible for the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I mean, this looks like a very, as you say, using the logic of the pandemic, looks like a very real possibility. And therefore, we are in a 100% clown world moment because this is just too absurd for words.
I mean, Fauci said, remember, it was in January. Was it January 2017? He predicted that Trump would be hit with a surprise pandemic. Well, then it's not a surprise. If you predict, no. I mean, no one predicts a surprise, then it's not a surprise. It's like, gee, then of course, then you have all the stuff with, Event 201 and lockstep and all the planning and all that.
This is, I think at this point, it's almost transparent. It's almost like if you can't see it at this point, the independent media doesn't need to waste any time with you.
Yeah.
It's like just leave them behind. We need to argue for or more clear-minded. I'll give you one little, they are talking in California anyway about the unvaccinated being the cause of the variants.
Yeah.
This is the latest science meme, and this will be one of the reasons they're going to use to try to lock us down. We just have to stand back. I mean, you don't need to be a scientist to understand that the virus is escaping the spike protein antibodies that are inside the vaccinated person, right? Now, it couldn't even do that inside of an unvaccinated person because it wouldn't know what the spike protein looked like to escape from, right? I mean, it is literally impossible vaccinated to be creating the variant that will escape somehow the antibodies of this artificial spike protein inside of the vaccinated people. It just can't happen. And so it isn't, you know, the people who are making this argument, it's sort of like the Austrian prime minister. And so that argument will come forward. I am positive within 60 days, I mean, that'd be my guess, they're going to try to go in the United States even to a lockdown of the unvaccinated. And at that point, it's, you know, we simply can't comply. Have to find, you know, we're all gonna have to find a way, our own path. Hopefully we will have, you know, people that we can make these decisions and improve. But one way or another, you just can't comply. I mean, to do so would be basically suicide.
Well, I mean, Cheryl Atkinson, a former CBS reporter, did a thing on the Amish, and it turns out they did nothing. I mean, and they're fine. They said, you know, they were exposed to it. It's out there. You know, they get the herd immunity, and they didn't have any extraordinary problems. In fact, they said because they're out there, they made a lot of money because everything was locked down, and they have no problem. Then they're a good good group to look who don't get vaccinated, who didn't engage any lockdowns or mask wearing or social distancing, and look at them, they're fine. And again, from the get go, this thing reportedly had a 99.97 recovery rate. Why the extreme measures? Well, we all know is nothing to do with it. Wasn't a health emergency. It was a cover for something.
To where we can roll together the vaccine regretful. You know, they talk about the vaccine hesitant.
Yeah.
Shortly, we're going to have a new political category, the vaccine regretful. We need to find a way to merge their anger with the nascent groups of the unvaccinated who are trying to defend themselves, you know, because that group, I think, will be, I mean, talk about having a motivation, you know, for self-defense. I mean, if you find out that you've been, I mean, imagine what that's going to be like. Because, and, you know, and again, we've talked about this in a theoretical sense. Well, I gave you the example of where it's actually occurring. I mean, there is just there appears to now be hard evidence that the immune systems are starting to collapse. Tim, this is going to make some angry people. They may be dying, but they're still going to be able to have some impact on the planet. So it's almost like we have to start transitioning into, you know, the more organized capacity for self-defense.
Yeah. So, okay, Joe.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.